You know, there was a time, the book of Genesis tells us, when God and Adam walked together in the garden as friends. Nothing was more natural for Adam than to talk with the one who made him. Back then, prayer was as simple and natural as talking to a friend. But at the moment of the fall, for Adam and for Eve and for all of us who have followed them, it became harder to talk to God, harder to sense God's presence. I don't know anyone who is satisfied with their prayer life. Everyone I talk to wishes they prayed more and that they got more out of it when they did pray. Everyone I talk to has doubts and questions and a sense of guilt about prayer. You are not the only one who feels guilty to think about prayer. But as hard as prayer is, and despite whatever the latest statistics are about who prays and who doesn't, I believe that all people pray. Every one of us, at some point in our lives, that split second, right before we know we're going to have a car wreck, right? When we think we're having a heart attack, when you hear that train sound, that means a tornado is right there. When someone you love is sick to the point of death, I'm convinced that all people pray, driven by desperation and hopelessness. Here's an example of that.
It's good to be able to come in here and kneel alone, but sometimes you need somebody to kneel beside you. May I?
Please. I'm Alexander. John Brightman. It's my son, Kyle. His appendix burst, and I'm afraid of losing him.
Sometimes our burdens are so heavy that we can't find the words to express what's in our hearts. Do you mind if I say a prayer for your son?
Please.
You told us, Lord, if there was anything we wanted, to come to you. Well, we come to you now. This is John, Lord, whose heart is burdened and heavy laden. He has a son, Kyle, whom he loves very much. Kyle is sick. Kyle is deathly sick. So we're asking you, Lord, to save Kyle. And we know you can do it through the blood that you shed for us. Heal him, Lord, and heal him now. This we ask in the name of thy son, Jesus. Amen. We've laid it out before him like he told us. The rest is up to him.
Thank you. Are you the chaplain here?
No. But I've come here many times. Many times, but I won't be coming anymore. Not now.
What were you here to pray about?
My wife. My Marjorie. She had cancer. And she passed away this morning.
I'm sorry.
John, you are a lucky man. Marge and I, we wanted to have kids, but we never did. You have a family. Love your family, John. Love them with everything you got. And about Kyle, trust him.
Trust him. I liked the simple prayer in that video. how it shows the power and comfort of having others pray with us, helping us. And I like how the prayer leaves the results up to God. Because sometimes our prayers, we gauge the effectiveness of them by how many yes answers we get. You know, prayer is not a to-do list for God. So I like that the video leaves the results up to God. I love how after the prayer, Alexander tells John he is lucky. He's blessed to have a family. Alexander says, love them with everything you've got. You know, the Bible says that your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Satan is prowling around every day. He wants your children. He wants your spouse. He wants all of us. If you're not praying for your family, who is? Who is? Love them with everything you've got. Make time every day to pray for your family. If you're not praying for them, who is? Praying for your family is usually pretty easy. When a crisis rocks us, like in the video, we pray maybe better than we've ever prayed in our whole lives. It's easy to pray, though, even without a crisis. Walk into your child's room at night as they sleep. It's easy to pray for them then. To make the sign of the cross over them. To pray for their future. To ask God to bless them in ways we cannot. Our children teach us how little control we have in life. Praying for them, we fall back in the strong arms of God and we trust Him. Sometimes in prayer, we even realize that we are the child over whom God the Father prays. That's something to remember, that the prayer isn't all our work. It's not all up to us. Romans tells us that we don't know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. And it also says that Christ Jesus is interceding for us. So prayer is not just our work. When we dare to approach the throne of grace, we have two divine prayer partners, the Holy Spirit and Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that a relief? We just have to pray. We don't even have to get the words right. Because Jesus and the Holy Spirit will sort it all out for us as they talk to God the Father on our behalf. The thing is, we have to pray. We have to make that time. Are you making time for prayer? If you're like me, that just made you feel guilty. Because prayer can just seem like another thing to do on an already too long to-do list. But there's another take on prayer I want to consider. God says, "Be still and know that I am God." In Latin, the imperative, be still, is vacate, vacate. It's like God is inviting us to take a vacation and stop being in charge of everything for just a little while, to let God be God. God gives us permission to stop doing all those other important things on our to-do list and to just rest in Him for a while. Of course, to do that means climbing down from my own seat of control every once in a while. Could that be why we don't take time to pray? Because we don't want to give up control. And when should you pray? John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, was an early riser who spent at least an hour every morning in prayer. But on those days when he was really busy, when he had a really long to-do list, John Wesley got up early enough to spend 2 hours in prayer. John Wesley gave up sleep to pray, not for a week, not for a month, but for a lifetime. You know, I'm an early riser, so the morning is the natural time for me to pray. I can get up early. Nobody's interrupting me. There are no distractions. That works for me. That does not work for my husband, and it never will. He's not a morning person. He's a night owl. Wayne prays at night before he goes to sleep. If I tried that, I'd just snore. I believe that we all need a regular time for prayer when we don't do anything else. We don't multitask. We just pray. But only you can decide what time is best for you. Of course, prayer isn't just something we do once a day, you know. It can be like breathing, something we do all throughout the day, even while we're doing other things. If praying throughout the day is something new to you, you might try using things that are already a part of your day to help you remember to pray. I used to work in this, I had an office that was right at the edge of a manufacturing shop. And on the wall of that office was a buzzer this big around. And that buzzer rang at the beginning of the shift, at the beginning of break time, at the end of break time, at the beginning of lunch, at the end of lunch, at the beginning of afternoon break, at the end of afternoon break, at the end of the shift, and then it started all over again with the next shift. It drove me crazy until I started using that as a reminder, a call to prayer. Now I pray when the phone rings. I pray when I hear a siren. I pray when the doorbell rings. Not a long prayer, obviously, but a prayer nonetheless. I know some people who use water as their reminder to pray when they take a shower, when they wash their hands, when they get a drink. They remember to pray. We all need regular scheduled prayer times, but prayer is something we can do all throughout the day. Now, I'd like to look at our text for the day. It's from Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to hear some of the things that Jesus had to say about prayer.
And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Jesus' instructions to go into a room and close the door have puzzled scholars because the one-room homes of Jesus' day didn't have separate rooms for everybody or closets for everybody. There was one door or maybe just a tarp. I think Jesus was using a figure of speech, telling us to construct in our minds an imaginary room, a sanctuary for the soul, where we can, in privacy, be completely honest with God. Our prayers need to be heartfelt and not just the performance of the Pharisees. That happens best in the privacy of a closed room, but you know that can happen in a church full of other people. It can happen sitting in a nursing home next to your parent or lying in bed next to your spouse. Heartfelt prayers That's what I recommend you do with that long list that we have in our bulletins each week, that prayer list. Rather than be overwhelmed by all of those needs, just pick the few that really touch your heart and pray fervently for those. In a church this size, they'll all get covered. Better to pray heartfelt prayers for a few than to blow them off and not pray any. You know, prayer lists are helpful. The list that we have at the church, or a list you might make yourself. Keeping a list is a wonderful way to notice answered prayer. The first time I began keeping a prayer list was in 1992. I had to call to get the date. Joe and Gay Pittman were selling their house, and it wasn't a good time to sell a house. The very first thing I wrote in my little notebook was to pray for the Pittmans to sell their house. Well, they did quickly. They did it quickly. And it changed my life forever to go in and mark that off and date it. If you're not keeping a prayer list, you might start just so you can know the joy of dating a few answered prayers. It also helps me to write out my prayers. Do you ever have your mind wander? Your mind doesn't wander as much when you're writing. Get a spiral notebook and a pen and sit down for a few minutes and write your prayers. That will help tremendously. Another thing that helps me, you know, I'm a bit of a list maker. And when I'm really busy, sometimes I just take my to-do list and I lay it out before God. And I ask Him to guide my day and my time. Often I'm surprised that God shows me some things that I think I need to do that He doesn't think I need to do. Sometimes God even speaks to my frazzled mind and He converts my to-do list into a to-be list. I have to go to the grocery today. God will say, be kind while you do it. I have to run to the hospital this afternoon. God says, but be unhurried while you're there. And then immediately after that, I've got to take the kids to piano and soccer. And God will say, be patient while you're with them. You might do that one day. Take your to-do list, lay it out before God, and write down what He wants you to be as you go throughout your day. It'll change your day, I promise. Sometimes it helps to have a model for prayer. A simple one is the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. Begin your prayer time with a time of adoration, acknowledging and recognizing God's goodness. You are a holy God and worthy to be praised. Then have a time of confession. I was impatient when I yelled at my children this morning. Forgive me and help me to listen to them as carefully as I expect them to listen to me. And then move to a time of thanksgiving. Thank you for my family and the love they show me. End with a time of supplication or requests. Father, help me to be patient and loving this afternoon. In the name of Jesus, amen. This model for prayer helps us to recognize how much time we spend asking God for things and how little time we spend thanking God, confessing to God, and worshiping Him. It's a good model to try. And please don't overlook one of the easiest ways I know to pray, with music. Much of the praise music we sing in the service or listen to outside of here isn't about asking God for things. It's just worshiping God. Here's an example of how easy it is a prayer of adoration can be. For singing is praying when we sing to God.
My comfort.
You see how that works? And you thought we were just singing each week, or that the band was just performing. But no, we're praying. If we let it be, our songs of praise can be prayers. Use music to help you pray. It's the easiest way I know to praise God. Last week I was in Michael's office borrowing some books, and he offered me a book on prayer. I said, Michael, I don't need another book on prayer. I just need to pray. We can learn a lot from others who've written on prayer, but I think most of us are just like that. We don't need another book. We don't need another sermon. We just need to pray. Will you do that? Will you join me this week in adding some discipline of prayer to your life? You know, Philippians tells us that one day we will all pray. One day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, we could start that today.
Princes and paupers, sons and daughters, kneel at the throne of praise. Losers and winners, saints and sinners, one day we'll see His face.
Would you stand now, please? In the love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, go and live as His people, free to turn to the Father in prayer at any moment. Amen.